Just to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page today, I'd like you to take a minute, just a few seconds really, and turn to a person next to you and just simply do this. After you wish them Happy Easter, share with them something that you've seen in the news in the last couple of weeks. Okay, you got it? Happy Easter, and then something you saw in the news in the last couple of weeks. Go. All right, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm just wondering how many of those stories that you shared were messages of hope or good news? Bueller? Anybody? Bueller? Had a couple. Yeah, and I got a lot of laughs from that, right? Because we know what's in the news. It either usually has to do with battles in Washington, division, strife, nuclear weapons, terrorism. Am I right? Could you use some good news today? Could you use some good news today? Yes, me too. I believe that we are in the right place. You came to the right place because we've got some great news. It is amazing how much information there is out there today. It has been growing exponentially for a few decades. Well, I guess since forever, it's kind of how it works, just growing and growing. We have so many different tools. You know, you've got the Facebook and the Google, and you can get information there. And you got Snapchat and Instagram and all kinds of other social media opportunities. TV, TV, newspaper, magazines, radio. Perhaps one of the oldest, though, and still used, is the billboard. You can hardly go anywhere and not see one. You don't have to go very far, right? And believe it or not, it's still used quite a bit. They estimate that advertisers spend about $7 billion a year on this outdoor medium. But if you want to see the world's largest high-definition outdoor billboard, electronic billboard, do you know where you have to go? Times Square in New York. I think I heard somebody say it. This billboard in New York City's Times Square is unlike any you've ever seen. It spans an entire city block. It's visible from any vantage point. It can be seen whether it's broad daylight or 2 o'clock in the morning. 24 million LED pixels make up this 25,000 square feet of advertising space. And advertisers are promised that they'll reach more than 2 million people a week with their very important message. Now, why so many people? Well, Times Square has been called the crossroads of the world. They say about 460,000 people a day travel through there. If you want to send a message to a huge amount of people all at one time, all in one place, you can send your message on that billboard night or day, day or night, every day of the year, and people from all over the world will be viewing your message. And I'm not going to tell you how much it costs because I forgot, but it's a lot. So you can put up very important messages like this one. Anybody have any idea what that is? I don't know. That's, I guess, always the key. You can broadcast, but what's the message? What's the message? What's the message worth telling 2 million people a week or more? Well, Martin Luther, in a sermon for Easter back in 1532, said this. And why are we looking at Martin Luther? This is the 500th anniversary year of the Reformation, when Martin Luther very bravely posted those 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he started what's been called the Reformation. And so that was in 1517, and so 2017 is the 500th anniversary of that. And so Luther has many inspiring things that he said, and we are looking at some of those throughout this year. But he said this particularly, the words, "Christ is risen from the dead," we should blazon and inscribe with letters so large that just one letter would be as large as a steeple. Yes, as large as heaven and earth. so that we would see, hear, know, and think of nothing else but this article. And by that he means this point of truth, this doctrine, this teaching that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That message. Now, Luther could never have imagined a high-definition digital billboard in Times Square, but he had very similar grandiose ideas, even, I would say, grander 500 years ago. Use whatever means necessary, he said, to shout to the world that Christ is risen from the dead. And so today, we celebrate the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the message. And his rising from the grave, it means and it implies some amazing things have happened because of it. But I can summarize for you in one word what has happened, and that is victory, in a word. But not just a victory, an impossible victory. Makes me think of this last Friday when my teenage daughter finally got her driver's license. Maybe more of a victory for me than for her, but and also, same day, my son got word that he likely has a job. He's a college senior, and so it's not official yet, so we're kind of, I'm only telling a few people. But, you know. And I wouldn't say that these are impossible victories. No, for an impossible victory, you just need to think back to Game 7 of the World Series in Cleveland, 10th inning overtime, first time since 1908 the Cubs won. It felt a little like a miracle, didn't it? Yeah, it was, somebody said, yeah. A few people trying to pay me to pray. No, I didn't. Not take money. But you can probably think of your own victories that you've experienced, right? Times that you've overcome and persisted. You worked and worked and it paid off in triumph. And you felt victorious. It felt awesome, didn't it? How long did that last? It doesn't often last long. In fact, maybe you're here today and you're not experiencing victory. You're not sure you're going to overcome even what you have next in front of you. You're not sure if it's even possible. Let me give you some encouragement. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, one time he said simply, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Victory over your challenges may not seem possible to you. And humanly speaking, I would say they're probably not. Human victories are hard-fought and short-lived at best. And many are completely and utterly impossible at worst. Chief of the most impossible victory that is facing humanity goes all the way back to the beginning when Adam and Eve brought death into the world with their sin. Their idolatry of self, their distrust of God, and their willful disobedience. It caused not only their banishment from the Garden of Eden, but it caused our most cruel enemy to come into the world, death. And when death came into the world, what came with it also was destruction of everything that was perfect and good. What was once beautiful and a peaceful existence was now filled with toil and discontent and division and death, not unlike the news that we talked about at the beginning. Eden was destroyed, and life now has become the battleground for Satan. Just to get in and to mess with life, and in fact, even to hold it hostage. And there is, hear me on this, nothing that any of you or I could do about it. Humanity is powerless against this enemy. Powerless to have victory over death. It is a battle we cannot win. That and taxes, you know. It's April 16th. Did you get yours done? You know what they say about death and taxes, I guess. And you know, even if you filed for an extension, you know, they still come due. And death is like that. You may cheat it for a while, but it comes due. And death has entered our lives, our families, and our community. And every human being faces death. And most, if we're honest, fear it. It's the enemy we must all face. Adam and Eve brought death into the world, but we put the nails in our own coffin. We are just as much to blame as they are for the brokenness in the world. We have brought our own destruction with our own personal web of deceit and lies, of pride, of selfishness, of distrust of God. All of those things we do too. And I hope I'm not depressing you too much on Easter, because there really is good news in the face of this enemy, the last enemy, death. And we heard that good news in our gospel reading today when those two gleaming messengers spoke to the women who had come to the tomb this simple message: why do you look for the living among the dead? He's kind of saying, you're in a cemetery, and the guy you're looking for is alive. Live people don't stick around in cemeteries for long. He's not here. He's risen. And with that, we have the message that's worth proclaiming. We have with that the message that has changed the world. See, what happened when Jesus died on the cross, it looked as though death had won once again. It looked as though Satan, he thought he had claimed the life of one more child of God when Christ died on that dark Friday. But what was really happening was that Christ's crucifixion and death were a sacrifice made to God as a sin offering on behalf of your sin and mine and everyone else's, all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, up to the present, and to anyone who had ever lived. And this was possible because Christ's death and his sacrifice was different than anyone else's. Because Christ wasn't just a man dying. He was the sinless and perfect and eternal only begotten Son of God. And because of that, his offering, his sacrifice, was able to pay the price for the whole world's sin, yours and mine included. And because the tomb was empty, because Jesus was not here, because he is risen, that means that God accepted that sacrifice. He verified it by raising Jesus from the dead. And so Christ's resurrection is, if you will, a promise and a guarantee to you that God will raise you too. He accepted Christ's sacrifice, and through your baptism and through your faith, you are united with Christ in his sacrifice. The apostle says, in our baptisms and through our faith, we put on Christ. And so what that means is that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees his sinless Son. So what that means is when it comes time for judgment, you won't be condemned because of your sin, because your sin is long gone, 2,000 years ago, nailed to Calvary's cross. No. You will be brought into the presence of God for eternity because Christ was raised. Do you see how important that is? The apostle says it very simply in his letter to the Corinthians. For as in Adam all died, because of Adam and Eve's sin, we are all condemned to death. However, because of Christ, we are all made alive. It's such an important, I actually like, probably my favorite verse and section of verses on this subject comes a few verses earlier. When earlier in chapter 15 he says this: if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? There was a group of people that didn't believe anybody would be raised from the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And this is the part: if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. The resurrection of Christ is so pivotal. It is such a pivotal event in history. We call it the linchpin of our faith. On it, everything hinges. That's what a linchpin is. It's that pin in a hinge that everything revolves around and hangs together by this central doctrine of our faith that Christ was raised. Everything. And so because it's so important, we want to make a couple of resources available to you today. If you have questions about that, on the way out, the ushers will have for you a gift book. It's a kind of a condensed version. It's very easy to read. It's good for you to pass on to others. These are going to answer questions that you have either asked yourself or have often been asked about the resurrection, about life after death, about sin, about heaven, about hell. It's a great resource for you. And if you, it's based on what is now a 20-year-old book that was made into a movie, not the content of the book, but the story behind the book just came out in the theaters called Case for Christ. When Lee Strobel wrote this book on the right 20 years ago, that is a very thick and much more detailed look into the resurrection and all of the evidence around it. If you want that book, we have that out at the information table, especially for our visitors today. That's a gift for you for coming. So just stop there if you want that. But we just want to resource you because, friends, it's so important that you and I understand that the good news that we have today is that eternal death is destroyed for you. You will be raised from physical death. Paradise has now been restored and is waiting for you whenever Jesus calls you home. His victory is your victory. You're victorious over the grave. In Christ, you have already won. And here's the thing. I want to see. I think you want it too. To live a life that is defined by that. And I don't mean that you just acknowledge it and you say, oh, yes, Christ was raised from the dead. But I mean you live by it and you are changed by it, transformed. Think of how differently you live your life knowing that your eternity is secure. Think of how differently you live your life knowing that that same power that rose Jesus from the grave is available to you every day. How differently do you live your life when you know that anything, whatever is broken today, will be restored in eternity? How differently you and I live when you know that Christ is raised and you will be too. When you and I live that way, that's a message to the world that is more visible than any high-definition lit-up billboard in Times Square. When you proclaim to the world that Christ is risen from the dead, it doesn't just reach 2 million people a week. It is on display anywhere and everywhere God's people are, throughout the whole world, from north to south and east to west. The message of the resurrection is proclaimed. You become Christ's banner and his billboard proclaiming the message of the resurrection. So let's practice that right now. I'll say he is risen. You say he is risen indeed. Okay? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. That is a message for the whole world to hear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for winning the victory over the grave. We thank you that because of our faith in you and our baptism, that your victory is now ours. Fill us with the hope that comes from your resurrection and the promise of our own resurrection. Help us to share that message with those that we encounter, both with our words, but also with a life that shines brighter because we're transformed by your truth. Together, may we be the brightest billboard that this world has ever seen, and may the world know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.